beloved radio friends, in the precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, we heartily greet you and welcome you to the study of God's precious Word as we continue in the Galatian Epistle, Chapter 3. I am sure that some of our listening friends, who may have carefully been following our studies in this Epistle of the Galatians, may have been inquiring in their hearts and in their minds, why did God ever give the law? We certainly have noted the strong emphasis that God has given through His servant Paul, declaring that the law can never justify any person, man or woman, in the sight of a holy God. Therefore, it does raise a serious question. Why then did God give the law? Now Paul anticipated this question. He now takes up the question in a section of this third chapter, beginning at verse 19, going through verse 24, in which he deals with it. We read the portion. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. May God bless the reading and hearing of this portion from His Word. We have now arrived at the pointed question. Wherefore then serveth the law, which I'm sure may be in the minds of many? Do not for one moment entertain the false impression that the law is of no value. God forbid this. I feel quite certain that some of our friends may be of a critical spirit concerning these studies, as we have so strongly asserted that there is no salvation by or through the law. Before coming to any definite conclusion about this, will you please follow with me and see what God now declares, and understand that God had a divine purpose in giving the law. Let no one ever say that God made a mistake when He gave the law. He gave it for a purpose. And why? He gave it 430 years after the promise made to Abraham, we have noted. But why did He do it? Now listen to the answer. Says Paul, it was added, that is, the law was added, because of transgressions. Now be very careful to note what this does not say. It does not say it was added because of sins. You say, what is the difference between transgressions and sins? There is a great difference. Every child of Adam is a sinner and sins. But God did not give the law to make more sinners or to make men sinners. They were sinners before the law was given. And even afterward too. Then what is the difference? It is this. When God gave the law to Israel, they were no longer merely sinners. When the law was given, then they became transgressors. 'Twas then they could find and realize they were rebelling against God's authority, and they became actual violators of a holy law, as God gave it. Now, before the law was ever given, there was no list of commandments saying, thou shalt and thou shalt not. There was no so-called written law for them to transgress and violate, even though men were sinners and did sin. But when the law came, then men could recognize their violations against the Holy God. They could recognize what Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. The law is good if a man use it properly, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient. Now, why do we have laws in our government? Are they not made to expose those who violate them, those who disobey them, those who transgress against them? The children of Israel were sinners, like all others. But like a lot of folks today, they would not acknowledge their sin, and therefore God gave them and brought in the law. Now, how does this apply to you and to me, radio friend? Were it not for the law, you and I would do everything possible from confessing our sinfulness. Friend, it is by the law that God proves to you and to me that we are sinners, that we transgress, that we disobey, that we violate His righteous and His holy demands. Then what purpose did the law serve? And why was it given? How long was it given to do its work? Says Paul, it served until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Now, God was pleased to use the law until Christ came. And God's promise of salvation was made through Christ, not through the law. I dare you to find that God ever made a promise of salvation for men by their keeping of the law. God's promise of salvation for mankind was made through Christ. And that great and holy law, though it was given by the angels attending the giving of it on Mount Sinai, according to this scripture, and there was a man who was a mediator between God and the people of Israel when that law was given, and that man was Moses himself. For the people of Israel told Moses, don't let God speak to us. Let him speak to you, and you tell us what he wants us to do. And so Moses was a mediator between God and Israel when the law was given. But when it comes to obtain the promise of salvation through Christ, listen, radio friend, you don't need any angels. They are not necessary. Neither do you need any human mediator as Moses, the great lawgiver. God will deal with you and me personally, and with every sinner who will believe upon His Son by faith. God does not ask you nor me to come to Him by Moses, nor by any angel. He says to the sinner who has transgressed His holy law, I will bless and save you through Christ, my only begotten Son. There is no legal mediation required. Oh, my beloved, please realize there is only one ground that you and I can approach God upon, and it is entirely and only by Christ and our faith in the person and work of that Blessed One. Now, we are told in our scripture in verse 21 particularly that the law is not against the promises of God, for no law has been or could be given to produce everlasting life. But now, through the gospel, a law-breaking sinner, a disobedient sinner, one who has violated God's holy law, can through faith in God's beloved Son, and through faith in the redeeming death of that Son upon the cross, that sinner can come to God through Christ. May I quote the promise of God? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. My beloved, may I dwell upon the closing verse, or the closing verse we must end with today, verse 22 of Galatians chapter 3. Here are the words of Paul. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. We would only again emphasize what we must, which the Word of God does, that the promise of salvation is by faith through Jesus Christ. And that promise of salvation is given to everyone that believes. The hymn writer has well covered this truth by the words when he wrote, saying, Oh, what a Savior that he died for me! From condemnation he hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. The conclusion of Paul's words in verse 22 certainly declare, There is no law that giveth life. For if that could have been done, then God would have given such a law. And we can only conclude what the Scripture declares. The conclusion is this. We are all under sin. And because we're under sin, we are entirely shut up to faith in God's beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, as the poet declared, He that believeth on the Son, 'tis true, hath everlasting life. My beloved radio friend, the law has been given, and it has proved both for you and for me, we are hell-deserving sinners, guilty of a broken law. But Christ has come and bore the curse of that law and its judgment, that by faith in Him, you and I may be set free from that broken law and delivered from its penalty. My radio friend, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Father, bless the truth in our Savior's worthy name. Amen.